Good evening, church. The scripture reading for tonight is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what this was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Good evening, everybody. Boy, it sure is nice to be back in front of a crowd again. And not to cast any dispersions on those who are joining us online, we're thankful for you too. I must apologize for the glare I must be giving off, though. These spotlights are pretty bright, and my shiny head does not make that any better. But before I jumped into my lesson, I shared yesterday or the day before, the days kind of all blend together for me in the summertime, a YouTube channel that I've been working on with a minister friend of mine who's in North Carolina. And the title of that YouTube channel is Bible Studies for Regular People. And we created this YouTube channel as an avenue for those who might want to share the gospel, but maybe they don't have all the answers, or maybe these are subjects that are hard to approach. This is an avenue that can be a benefit to all of us and can be a benefit to those who we're outreaching to, because none of us have all the answers, but we can at least try and outreach and use whatever we can to share the gospel. Now, this evening, I've been going through the book of Matthew, and to tell you the truth, it was hard for me to find a lesson in Matthew chapter 2. It was hard for me to glean what the gospel of Matthew was trying to depart or impart on my life as far as what's going on in this particular section. But my lesson for you tonight is going out on a limb. And I want you to keep in mind, as we're in chapter 2, we're going to start off in verse 13, but we're going to camp here for just a little bit. I want to pose to you a question for you guys to think about. And that is, how many of us feel comfortable going out on a limb? Whether it be leaving your home or somewhere that you've been familiar with, that you are comfortable with, and going somewhere that you've never been before. Or you're even forced to learn how to do something new that you never thought that you would be doing, but you're having to learn as starting off fresh. So, jumping into Matthew chapter 2 and how this applied to us. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, as we all have read from the gospel accounts. But King Herod was the ruler at the time, and he was not of the Davidic line. In fact, he was put there in place by the Romans. And although Herod is described as Herod the Great, he built a lot of great things for the city of Jerusalem. That does not mean that this man did not have his faults. In fact, he was a very paranoid man. And if anybody sought to take the kingship from him, it would not end well for them. And that's exactly what we find in verses 1 through 12. It's not long after Jesus is born that all of the city of Jerusalem is in a stir. And in verse 2, I found it interesting that it said, verse 3, it said that when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So already we see a potential power struggle. But as we read on, we know that's not how it worked out, or at least in the sense that King Herod thought it was going to work out. But as time went on, wise men entered the city, seeking to find this king of the Jews. And Herod, seeking to find him for his own reasons, asked these wise men, "When you go and find him, let me know so that I may worship him." And Herod did this for his own selfish reasons, but we find out that these wise men were intervened by the Holy Spirit when it told them to go the other way. Now, picking up in verse 13, we find that Joseph and Mary are first-time parents. And that can be a very joyous time. That could be a time of great blessing. But I'm assuming that all parents have gone through this. That it can be a time of uncertainty and anxiety because you are caring for this child, and being your first child, you don't know what to expect. And so that can be a time where it could be a time where you're going to have to adjust, and that's not always comfortable to do. But as they are there, being first-time parents, learning to adjust to their newborn child, verse 13, it says, "After they were gone, these being the wise men, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, 'Out of Egypt I call my son.'" So we have Joseph and Mary, newborn parents, adjusting to getting the child to have a normal sleep schedule and the process of being first-time parents. I don't know what that's like, but you guys certainly do and can relate to what Joseph and Mary are going through. But now their life is in trouble. Jesus' life is in trouble. And they have to pick up in the middle of the night and go somewhere where they may have never gone before. They are literally taking their lives, and they are going into this land where they don't know what to expect, and they don't know for how long. All we know is that they stayed there until Herod died. We don't know how long of a time this took place, but it was a great period of time. So picking up back in verse 16, it says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel was weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because there were no more.'" And this is a very sad time for the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding area, because it's an awful thing to have a child so young be put to death. It's devastating to have a kid who had barely begun to live and to see that kid die. And we see it's a great time of depression. But Joseph and Mary, they don't know what to expect at this point. They don't know if and when they can get to return home. And if we reflect on our very own lives, if we have gone through a situation where things aren't clear, where life circumstances come our way and we have to change on the fly, that comes with great anxiety, sometimes depression, and a lot of hardship because it's uncertain. It makes us uncomfortable. But as we know, those times don't last forever. In fact, God leads us through many tough times, and we see that he does just this for Joseph and Mary. So picking up in 19 through 23, which was heard just a few moments ago. After Herod died, and an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, because those who sought the child's life are dead." So he got up, and he took the child and his mother, and entered the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, who was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee. Then he went and settled in a town called Nazareth to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So now that the threat is gone, now that they can supposedly return to the normal life that they once knew, they can start to getting back to normal. They can start getting back to being a comfortable, normal life. But we see here that's not the case. What they thought they were going back to, what they thought was the plan, got changed again. And they were afraid. But that does not mean that they did not listen. That does not mean that they did not have faith. In fact, they did what was told of them, and they went and settled down in Nazareth, a little town called Nazareth. And so, whenever we are pushed out of our comfort zones, we want to get back to being comfortable too. Joseph and Mary did. They wanted to go back and start a normal life, but instead, they had to continue to be on the run until they settled back in Nazareth. And I reflected on something here. Is comfortable where God calls us to be? Being a Christian, if we really think about it, it's not a comfortable thing to do. In the world, we see all kinds of things from all kinds of people. And if we are living a Christian lifestyle, that's going to contrast from what the world is portraying. And we are going to stand out. And when we stand out, that can be very uncomfortable. But in its own way, being uncomfortable is probably one of the best things about being a Christian. But here's what I mean by that. And here are three things that I want you guys to take from this lesson. Because after all, if it's not a three-point sermon, is it really a sermon? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I hope you have a pen and paper. And if so, I would like you to write this down. The first point that I want you guys to take from this lesson is being focused on being constantly comfortable is the same thing as being constantly complacent. We are so obsessed in our society in wanting to be comfortable, living a comfortable life, and wanting to be just like everybody else. Want to keep up with the Joneses, if you will. But if we're focused and obsessed on being comfortable, are we really growing? If we want to stay the same, are we seeking to get better? And this can be applied in any aspect of life. If we have goals and aspirations, but we don't do anything about it, what have we really changed? If the goal is to be comfortable, then we're not really growing. We're not moving towards those goals that we've set. And that's the same thing as it's the same application as Christianity. We are not going to reach and seek and save the lost if we want to seek to be just comfortable. We're not going to be saving anybody if we just seek to be comfortable and not push our boundaries to learn and to grow ourselves. And if you think about it, who wants to spend their lives just being comfortable? Who wants to spend their lives doing nothing of note? Who wants to spend their lives just being complacent? It's human nature to want something more, something better. And as Christians, we are to seek that growth And the only way we grow is if we push our comfort zones and we learn and we grow that way. So number two, when you're in an uncharted territory in life, you're always going to be learning. When I was in my earlier 20s, I didn't really want to go to college. I wanted to avoid it at all costs because at that time it seemed to me that college was just a scam. They were just looking to take my money. Why not forego all of that, find a job, work my way up, and earn a living that way? But I was constantly stressed out, depressed. Even in my own home congregation, I was looked at as being lazy or didn't have a vision for my life. In a way, they were right. I was afraid of stepping out of my comfort zone to seek a higher education or to discover something that I would truly be passionate about. But I was afraid. I was afraid of being uncomfortable. But it took a dear friend of mine to reach out and give me a plane ticket out here to see OVU for the first time. And that's when it hit me. I'm never going to grow in life, whether it be monetary or spiritually, if I'm seeking to just get by being comfortable. And in those times of discomfort is where we really begin to learn and begin to grow. And we can even apply this into a physical perspective. When we're growing up, it's an awkward and sometimes painful process. And if we didn't go through that discomfort, we wouldn't grow into the people who we are today. So we're always growing if we're always in uncharted territory. And the last thing that I wanted you guys to take from this lesson this evening, uncomfortable situations are not a punishment. They're just learning opportunities. You know, when we're put into uncomfortable situations, we don't know what's going to happen in that moment. But someone does. We are put in uncomfortable positions for a reason, church. God is always testing us. And those tests, they're not going to be comfortable. They're not going to be what we expect. But God has us there for a reason. And take a look back on your lives and think about the situations where you weren't sure what was going to happen. You weren't sure how the situation was going to play out. And then look where you are now. Having come out of that season of uncertainty and doubt and stress, here you are now. And looking back on it, you can see that somebody had something in mind. Somebody brought you through that season and preserved you for this very moment in time. So, Joseph and Mary, they were put in an uncomfortable position. They had to flee for their lives. They had to go to a land where they might not have known anybody or had never been there before. And that can be a terrifying experience. But instead of going further into that fear and letting the depression and anxiety that comes with those situations take hold, they gave it to somebody who knew that could get them through that situation. They controlled what they could control, and they gave what they couldn't control to someone who did, someone who always does. So I want to end with this. When we face our own unknowns, are we going to trust God to go out on a limb and to take the opportunity to grow? Or are we just going to settle for the sake of comfort? Because It's so easy to remain the same. It's so easy to stay comfortable, to stay where we are. It takes someone with true faith to step out into the unknown, out of their uncomfort zone, in complete trust with someone who is in control. And that is my lesson for you this evening. I hope that it was something that was encouraging and uplifting and empowering to you, because it certainly has been for me, because over the past few months, there have been a lot of unknowns, a lot of uncertainties, and that came with its own anxiety and sometimes a little bit of depression. But God is ultimately in control. And I need to have the faith to take what I can't control in the moment and give it to Him so that He can take control. Now, the moment is being presented to you now that if you are not a Christian, why not now? Why not now when this is the moment in time that God has reserved us for? We may not have another. This may be it. So why not tonight? You've heard the word. If you believe, then come forward, repent, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and be baptized for the remission of your sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you are a Christian tonight and you're going through uncertain times where you are in a place where you don't know what's going to happen or you don't know how things are going to play out, we would like to pray with and for you and to be a family of believers together to help you through in whatever way that we can. Because who knows? Somebody here may be the answer to somebody else's prayers. If you have need, please come forward as we stand.